Good morning. It's time for Daily Chapel at the LCMS International Center in St. Louis. The text is Mark chapter 7, verses 1 through 8. The Reverend Sean Denzer is preaching. The broadcast of chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
A reading from Mark, the 7th chapter. Now when the Pharisees gathered to Jesus with some of the scribes who had come from Jerusalem, they saw that some of his disciples ate with hands that were defiled, that is, unwashed. For the Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they wash their hands properly, holding to the tradition of the elders. And when they come from the marketplace, they do not eat unless they wash. And there are many other traditions that they observe, such as the washing of cups and pots and copper vessels and dining couches. And the Pharisees and the scribes asked him, "Why do your disciples not walk according to the tradition of the elders, but eat with defiled hands?" And Jesus said to them, "Well did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites, as it is written, 'This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men.' You leave the commandment of God, and you hold to the tradition of men. O Lord, have mercy on us."
Thanks be to God.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
One more time this week, we're shown the confrontation between Christ and the Pharisees, who see the law as a trap for others, but do not believe themselves to be caught in it. It is not that the Pharisees are not diligent or serious. They are the strict observance. They're the ones who are most interested in reading and taking consistently the Word of God, the Torah of Moses. But they resist seeing that they also add very much to it. They want to automate and standardize what God has made quite particular and prolonged on purpose, because He wants them always to stay in His sight, as we heard yesterday, in His presence, and connected with Him. Consider for yourselves, fellow bureaucrats. You know that there are genuine trade-offs between people and process. People are messy and particular. Processes are uniform, and they can be defined and then redefined as needed. People come and go from organizations. They take their knowledge with them. Processes capture that institutional knowledge so that their successors can understand it and carry it on. But all of the corporate-approved verbs betray the other side of the coin, that processes capture. That's right. They bind. They can imprison. They can resist creativity. They can force very particular people into paths that they may not be suited to walk and to succeed in. And despite the value that these things retain, processes still cannot guarantee the desired outcome. They are amoral, which can permit and even encourage the people who follow them sometimes to act immorally and with the process as their justification. Now this, it seems to me, is a fairly sound analogy to the law problem of the Pharisees. The flaw in it is certainly related to the fact that the people-process trade-off usually gets resolved by whatever your view of human nature is. Either it's fallen and sinful, as we acknowledged on Wednesday, and then the restraint of process is all the more important for us, or the people are good, honest, and well-meaning, in which case they could only be hindered by rules and processes. And in life as well as in the faith, humans prove themselves, in terms of their outward actions and their inward motivations, to be a very mixed bag. But here's the question we have not considered at all yet, and a very important one, the very one that the Pharisees have ignored. What about God? What about His words and what He says and thinks and does? The process approach to God's Word fails. It fails both because of human weakness, but also because it ignores divine love. For our part, the law of God always accuses us. It discloses our condition to be sinful, our motivations to be suspect, our actions to be insufficient. And since saving faith always can appear positive to us, it's even outcome-driven, for people at least, for humans and for corporations alike, changing the goalposts after the play is always a win-win. The Pharisaical solution was to fence God's law with their own easier-to-measure laws. This helps everyone, in a way. It gives the appearance that the law is being upheld and kept, so that our cognitive dissonance can be dismissed. And it also seems like God's law is preserved wholly, since now the sinners are actually kept from ever having to interact with it or him at all. The easiest example of this, to my mind, is the rule that the Jews had against uttering the name of the Lord. I mean, how can you misuse God's name if you never use it to begin with? Right? You see, but the distance that is introduced between us and God is the very misuse itself. The Lord gave his name so you could use it. He wants you to use it. He wants you to use it rightly. And this was not out of our failure so much as out of his great divine love. Since we're critiquing corporate speak, let's also dare to critique Christian speak a little. Because there's a real truth to the trade-off between calling Christianity a religion and a relationship. It's not enough to be bound up in all the activities of knowledge and the process of God's religion, much less the religion of its religionists. God also wants faith. More simply, it means very little to care about thoughts and words and actions unless you also care about Him. And that's what's true about the relationship between us, the children of our Father. This people honors me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me, Jesus says, and Isaiah said it first. The situation is not caused by hearing God's word. It is not caused by caring about the word's consistency. It is not caused by caring about the church and its success and taking steps to achieve that outcome with our good stewardship. Lip service is not even caused by having a care for the traditions of the men of the church either. But it comes from doing all of these very natural things in an unnatural way. That is, to do them all without caring about the giver, the speaker, and the blesser of this church himself. And of this, the history of the Jews, particularly their governors, is our perennial and our chief example in the scriptures. It's an example, by the way, because we are by no means immune to these errors. In Isaiah's time, they did all the right ceremonies, they said all the right words, they held all the right loyalties as God's chosen people. But they did not take it to heart. That is to say, they did not take the Lord to heart and trust in Him. Indeed, they used it as a cover for much injustice. And in time when the commandment of God was sidelined because faith in and relationship to God had been sidelined, then human commandments and traditions always seem to remain behind and gain strength even as they are empty. Just like a corporation with mission creep, right? The husk of an eviscerated Israel kept walking around, but co-opted for different purposes. Stephen both recounts and foretells this pattern in his sermon for which he was martyred. So here we are, with a duty to help the church continue, attending especially to the undercarriage, to the electronic systems, also to the body of the church, all while knowing that we are neither the engine of it, nor are we the precious people inside it. That puts us in a special danger of falling into lip service, doesn't it? Daily Chapel, by the way, in and of itself could never prevent that. And this could also become lip service. God forbid it. But this is the reason why we hold this daily chapel. why it's so important to our day and has to be the center of it and remain it. That the Word of God would be heard and kept, and especially believed and loved. That the church would be rooted in the Lord's own commands and traditions, first and foremost, before we consider all of the necessary processes of men. And that it would be rooted in our Lord Jesus Christ Himself, not only in the Lord's people, even. That's a stern message for us to depart this week with, a week of chapel, and even to depart the church year for the most part. But it is still worth our consideration and repentance, especially as we look forward to the future. What will make it different for us than for the Jews, for our fathers before us, is neither our people nor our process, our fathers nor our traditions, but it will be the Lord's own divine love for us in Jesus Christ. That is what creates faith. That is what forgives us and what releases us from bondage, even the bondage that we make for ourselves. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Thank you for joining us for Chapel. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces. To learn more about LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces, visit kfuo.org/chapel.